Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good Thursday, everybody. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3. The game. Chase McCabe here. Big Joe Dubin there. Nick Frazier, a.k.a. Dr. Crane, on the ones and twos. Hope you're having an awesome start to your day. We got a lot to get into. JoJo, how you doing?
Chaser, I'm here, man. It's good to hear from you. Also, it's my daily 902 report. If you could navigate Donaldson Pike during the airport construction, you can drive Formula One. I'm just letting you know that right now. If you've ever wanted to drive Formula One, put down that you've navigated Donaldson Pike, send it to an IndyCar team or Formula One, and you will get hired. I'm telling you right now, it's a disaster. You have to pay attention to every inch of road over there, man. It's something.
You know, that explains something. I've told you that I've been doing the iRacing thing, on the computer. They've added Donaldson Pike as a track, so that explains
should.
Why.
They should.
I drove through there yesterday, and it's certainly. I don't know why Alexa's talking, but hi, Alexa.
But Chaser, Alexa, who's over there?
Computer off.
God, that's rude. Be nicer. Yeah,
sorry. Anyway, it is definitely crazy. I drove through there yesterday, so I feel your pain because you do it every day. So
yeah, here's the problem now is that if you go Donaldson Pike, they have lowered the road, so it's like parallel to the runway. So I have my attention span's about half a second, and so I see a plane coming in. So you're watching, you're right there basically on the runway. And you watch the plane come in and land, and it's just like I'm still mesmerized at 55 by planes taking off and landing, and you see them land and take off, and it's just fascinating. So that also adds to the distraction over there.
Yeah. Now, yesterday they were timed out. There was like three of them, and I'm like, okay, I hope driving right by as one comes through, but it wasn't timed.
What time was this? I need to figure. Was it?
I was on the way to the meeting we went to.
Okay,
so it was about 3:15 probably.
Right. So I need to check the schedule and see what time the plane. All right, I like that. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, well, Air JoJo's over there, so I mean, you can, maybe you can plan when you go somewhere that. I can be driving by an air because you won't let me fly with you.
Nope.
So,
it's like the president and vice president. They never fly together. So with us, we have to fly separate. I put you on Spirit Airlines and I fly Contour. And then we get there about 4 days later. So it's fine.
Did you hear about the poor kid that got like stuck on a Spirit Airline flight, was sent to Florida?
Christmas. I saw that. It was like a Home Alone thing, basically.
Yeah. It was on the money.
Was he headed to Florida?
No, he was headed somewhere else. I think maybe New York. I don't know. I'm not reciting Home Alone, but like that was the actual situation.
How old's the kid?
Easily, probably like 9, 10 years old.
He was like Kevin McAllister. Like I saw the story because it was compared to Home Alone 2, because he was like Kevin McAllister's age.
Oh, nice!
So it literally was like Home Alone happens.
Oh goodness! So. Wow. I mean, there's worse places to go.
Just my odd story of the day.
Yeah.
Whenever these come up, it always brings up we need to have Nick do like odd stories and like present them to us and we talk about them.
Sure.
I have one about a whale if you want to hear it.
Yeah, what's the whale?
It's a whale of a story, isn't it?
It is a whale of a story. Scientists have actually been able to communicate with whales in their native language of whatever it is. So that's positive for science.
Well, hold on. What?
I was reading.
You just can't read a headline and then leave.
Well, no, they were talking about how they did some investigating with certain, sounds underneath the water, and it can actually reverberate to the way whales can hear things, and it can mean certain signals to certain things.
I hope the whale responds back with three words. I hate you. And that's it. And that's done with it.
It's a cool thing. Cool concept.
Okay, all right, that's
I'm not big into, marine life, but that's kind of a cool thing. Come on, Joe.
You believe in mermaids?
No.
Okay. Just making
Disney.
Sure.
Disney?
Just making sure, man. All right.
I mean, I met a couple that claim to be mermaids. Never mind. That's another story for another day. But, there you go. Marine life. That's your update for today. Do we think Will Levis is going to play?
Yes. No doubt.
You do?
Absolutely. full participant in practice yesterday. He'll play on Sunday. Story over.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if it was all a smoke screen and Tannehill still goes, but if he's a full participant in practice, then he probably ends up playing.
I think he plays. It's, again, full participant in practice. If he practices again today, I don't see why he cannot play on Sunday and go down and play spoiler again against the Texans and try to get a win and not collapse in the last second.
I'm just curious of something. I want to ask the people that are listening right now, because to be completely honest with you, I no longer care. I mean, the Titans, we know the end of the book. They're not making the playoffs. And we know that the big story is going to be the offseason. And we're going to have plenty of time to talk about that. So, like, do people care? Like, do people care if Levis plays this weekend or not? Do they care what happens in the game? Are you going to watch the game? Like, I put this on Twitter on Sunday that, you know, I didn't have any interest in actually going to the game, but I still wanted to watch it, even though I knew that they weren't making the playoffs. And then after watching the game, and it basically was a repeat of so many games this year where, oh, the Titans have the lead. Oh, they make you think they got this. And then they blow it and they end up losing in the end anyway. Now it's just completely like, I'm just like, whatever. It no longer matters what happens. I don't care. But I feel like I'm obligated to, obviously, because of what we do. I just want to know what the fans actually think. Like, do they care?
I think they care. I mean, they're still invested in this football team. And I mean, you see the ratings on the weekend. They're massive. People still pay attention to this football team. They're invested in it. It's their team in Nashville. And, you know, it's a funny thing, though. When they're bad, people react a lot more than when they're good. You know, and we've
Very
seen
true.
That the 25 years they've been here, is that when this team is not good, people love to weigh in, which is fine. I mean, that's you could do that. But when they're good, a lot of people are solid because, you know, winning solves a lot of things. So when they're good, people are kind of like, okay, we'll see how this rides out and all that. But, I mean, the season's over. Now you go out and you play two games with guys who most of them weren't on the roster even 6 weeks ago.
I don't know who
ago.
Half these guys are.
I don't either, man. I have no idea. It's something. It's crazy. But you go out and you got to play this weekend and see what happens. And then – trying to finish the season strong. And, you know, we'll have these boneheads who write in, you know, wait, draft position. The fact that that's still a conversation that you want your team to lose just baffles me beyond any degree.
Yeah, so you want to tune into the game or go to the game and watch them play like crap and lose.
I don't get it.
Which I bet is probably not true. I bet it's like, oh, no, I'm not even watching. So it's like you're checked out too. So what does it matter?
Right. I totally agree. Yeah. And that's the thing is like, I don't get the mindset. I really don't get the mindset of let's lose and get a high draft. I mean, one draft pick next year does not guarantee you a Super Bowl. I mean, you need
no.
That's why you have 11 players on the team. You know, remember the rage a few weeks ago was Caleb Williams at USC? Now nobody's talking about him. Nobody.
No.
Now it's Drake May who's moved up. And look, Titans got a quarterback. Now move on from this and go out and do what you can do, but all this other stuff just nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, you need a left tackle. You need a center. You probably need to look at least for the future, the right side, even though I think it's going to be Brunskill and Nicholas Petit-Frere. You need a receiver. You desperately need a corner. Like, they've got to find a shutdown corner, and those don't grow on trees. Anybody, like, I've seen a couple of tweets of, like, people doing their – you know, dream roster for next year for the Titans and, you know, adding a couple of free agents. And they have Christian Fulton re-signing. No, there's no chance, 0% chance that Christian Fulton is back with this football team. He is gone. Gone next year.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely it is. I mean, it's a business. The teams, you know, what, a third of them, almost half of the team, it will be gone next year. At least a third of them are. So you just kind of – rinse and repeat and get somebody else in there to do the job and go forward next year. I mean, free agencies open all that up and you sign a guy for a year and hope he could do good. I mean, evaluating a free agent is just as important as evaluating as a guy coming out of college. Same thing.
Yeah, and you'll have about $85 million in cap space, which is obviously a lot to work with. And sure, the off-season stuff is interesting. Like, I get into that, like the free agency and trades and – you know, the draft and stuff, but there's still plenty of time for that. It's just I want to know what people's interest level is right now when it comes to the next 2 weeks of, you know, are you just watching because you love football and you love the Titans and you're going to stand in there, you know, no matter what happens? Or are you watching because it's a train wreck? Like, I'm very, very curious of this, of why people, you know, still care.
Well, we did this a long time ago. Tell me a free agent that's left the Titans and gone on to do bigger and better things. Now, I did this probably 5 or 6 years ago, so now it might have changed a little bit. But tell me somebody who's left here that's gone on to become the best at his or to his position, right? So, like, Adoree Jackson's playing okay for the Giants, all right?
Yeah,
but he was doing that here.
You know.
Corey Davis did the same thing doing it here. Jack Conklin, you know, injured, was probably playing a little bit better than he did here, but you go down. I mean, who got arrested by the Cowboys yesterday, the linebacker for the
Rashawn Evans, yeah. He got released too.
Yeah, so he got number one draft.
But he wasn't playing great.
No, 2018 he left. They cut him. He goes to the Falcons. Was terrible last year. So give me a free agent. I don't. I've got to be missing one guy who left here as a Titan free agent and did better elsewhere.
I mean, David Long's had a decent year with Miami.
Okay. But I need a better.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, I
well,
see
you won't
your
raise
point.
Your voice to me. So.
I see your point. I'm not raising my voice.
Well, just
I see your point. Sorry, Dad. Man, that's a good question.
Dr. Crane shaking his head. He doesn't know either.
Maybe. I know A.J. Brown signed with the Eagles, but that was a trade.
It was a trade.
I mean,
that's a trade. Somebody who left here to get more money someplace else who's done better. Javon Kearse started out with the Eagles okay, but he got injured. Was never half of what he was here for the Tennessee Titans.
Well, do you count Derek Mason? Because, he was cut, but
yeah,
I mean,
okay.
I would
– I count.
I would say – I don't know if you could say that D. Mason's career in Baltimore was – better, you know, as a whole as in with the Titans, but he continued it.
Yeah, I think he elevated to another level with the Red. That's a good one. I'll take that one.
Yeah. I mean, and Samari Roll continued playing at a high level, and then he got hurt or had something going on.
Yep.
Cut his career short.
Would Ryan Succop be in this conversation? He left the Titans, went to the Bucks, won a Super Bowl, hurt his hip, and now doesn't. It's a kicker. I get it, but still. Got to that championship caliber up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Texter rolling in on this. So let's continue this. This is a good question. Good discussion. So a Titan that left here and then elevated their game.
By free agency, not a
by
trade.
By free agency. No trade, so don't say A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
No trades. But just free agency, and we'll count cuts because that makes you a free agent. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Up and running on a Thursday, our buddy Tim Hasselbeck, usually on the midday show on Tuesdays, with us being off, and he's actually traveling to do a bowl game, he's going to join us at 9:30. So we look forward to talking to Timmy coming up in just a little bit. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. And, of course, our show is presented by Regal Realty Group. Asking this question, a Titan that left here via free agency, cuts count, and went to another team and basically elevated their game, played better. There's some good ones coming through. One that you and I probably should have said, 3045 put out there. John Runyon was one of the first that I probably remember. He went on to Philly and played, you know, really good.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that one. I know there's a couple out there that we have left off, but that's – thank you. Yeah, Runyon was great. And now his son plays for him too, I think.
Yeah, Jackson says Cairo Santos. I mean, he just got a big deal in what, Chicago?
Right.
I guess is the kicker.
Kickers don't count.
A few people, David in Murfreesboro, a few others have said Khalif Raymond left here.
No.
He's gone to Detroit. I mean, he's been okay, but I think he's been there what he was here.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, thank you. I mean, he has not elevated himself because he's on a good team. It's great, but
sure.
The fact he hasn't elevated himself as a player, I'm not buying into that one.
So Matt has an interesting one. Pac-Man. He was good in Cincy, but there's a lot of circumstance with that. I mean, I believe that had he gotten his act together, he would have been the greatest returner in Titans history.
But he was never
D-Mays.
Ever going to get his act together. Never.
Right. Right. But I'm saying if he had, he would have surpassed Derek, you know, from the return standpoint, and I think he could have been the best corner they've ever had too.
1375 says Randy Moss. I was like, ha, good one.
Dylan said Jack Conklin. Chip said Josh Reynolds. Again, I kind of put him in Khalif. I mean, Josh Reynolds has played better in Detroit than he played here. He did nothing here. So, I mean, I guess you can count that one.
Yeah, I mean, Conklin's a good one. I mean, he elevated his game. It was becoming, you know, one of the best right tackles in the game of football. Unfortunately, he had his injury, and he's out now. But I think Conklin's one up on that list. That's a good one.
Here's another one that I never would have thought of. Austin and Franklin. Jack Doyle, he had a pretty good career for Indy. Wasn't he here like in a training camp?
Yeah, he got – that's a good one. He got out of Western Kentucky. He got cut here and then picked up by the Colts and had a nice career. But he never played here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. He was just on like a practice squad.
So you go back. Another one's LeGarrette Blount, right? So
sure.
I was at the practice, and I'll tell you right now, Jeff Fisher will deny this to the day he dies. But that's a night that he got into a fight with, I think it might have been Ryan Fowler, LeGarrette Blount at practice. And it was a night practice inside the bubble. And I'm telling you right now, man, they provoked LeGarrette Blount. And he sure. got cut the next day. He had a fight in practice. I shot it. I sent it to ESPN. It was all over everywhere. Remember, he got the fight in the bowl game versus – or in the bowl game. They yep. played Boise State when he was in Oregon. And people are like, well, he was here. Now, he never played a game for the Titans, but went on to have a nice career for Tampa, New England, a few other people there. But that was
– he won three Super Bowls.
Yeah, to me, that's one of my – that might be the most bizarre moment. The Vince Young 2008 disappearing – and the next year, LeGarrette Blount, or 2010, whatever it was, when they provoked him at practice. And they'll deny it. They'll deny it all day long, man. But I was there, and I saw it. And but he never played for the Titans in a regular season game.
Well, I've heard Jeff Fisher say on these airwaves that one of his biggest regrets was trying to sneak him through to the practice squad.
Well,
which it should be. I mean, it should certainly be.
Yeah.
That's one you'd want back.
Yeah, but he would have never – how much would he play with Chris Johnson around him? He would have never gotten the ball that much, but who knows? But
well, I mean, so that was after Lindell White had left, right?
Yes, Lindell White had been traded to Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, but, I mean, I still think they could have used him. I mean, he was such just a big body, and, I mean, you think about his longevity, and, I mean, he went – to Tampa, and then, you know, he went to Pittsburgh. And remember, he walked off the sideline in Pittsburgh here
right.
when he was with the Steelers.
Good memory.
And then Tomlin cut him. And then he ends up with the Patriots. He wins two Super Bowls with the Patriots, and then he won one with Philadelphia his last year. So, I mean, he ended up with three rings.
He did.
I've gotten to know LeGarrette a little bit. So, I mean, he's an interesting character. Like, he really is. Like, he's fat. It's fascinating to talk to him because he's very open about everything in his career.
He was.
Which is cool.
Yeah, and, you know, when he had, again, God, he's 37 years old. That's crazy. But
I can get him. He'd be fun to have on.
I think he was at the time troubled, all that, because I don't think that was him, you know. And look, the reaction he had in that game, you lost a tough game, and some guys come over talking smack in your face.
Yeah.
We all say, walk away. But that's not easy to walk away when somebody's doing that to you. I mean, no. It's not easy. And so, but yeah, he was cut in 2010 during training camp and then picked up by Tampa Bay.
2298 says Robert Spillane, not elite yet, but a player the Titans could desperately use. He's with the Raiders.
Okay.
I mean, he's definitely playing better than he did here. This Robert says, I'm pretty sure Jason Babin was a cut, and I'm not sure if he went on to win a championship, but I know he had continued success.
I'm telling you, no, Jason Babin can go to hell, and I'll tell you this right now. You know why?
Wow.
Coming back from flying with a team in 2010, coming back, this true story, and he was snoring in the row next to me, and the lady's coming back, she had, and the flight attendant had one Dove bar left, right? So she's like, I got one Dove bar. And so I took my headphones off. I said, I'll take it. And Babin grabs the Dove bar and starts eating it. I was furious.
You're going to fight it. You want to fight it.
It's so stupid. I'm to this day, it was Christmas Day 2010. We're flying back from Kansas City, and he took my Dove bar. I was furious with that. But, yeah, he was, Jim Washburn took him to another level when he was here as far as playing defensive end.
Jared Cook. Ron, that's funny. Lorenzo Neal, Lo Neal basically was the same player he was everywhere he went. You know, in Baltimore, and didn't he play in Oakland after here?
Yeah, Babin didn't win a Super Bowl. He played for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He played for 10 teams and didn't win a Super Bowl. He was here in 2010. That was the year he stole my Dove bar.
Okay, Cam, I think, was being funny, but I don't think he's wrong. Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, the Fitzmagic thing definitely happened after he left here.
I get it, but he played for so many teams. But I want one specifically that was here, that left here to go someplace else and elevated his career. That was there, I mean, I get, you know, he did some good things, but he was here for a cup of coffee and moved on.
Quentin,
you know,
Spain?
What? Who?
Quentin Spain. Played for the Titans for a little bit, then went to Buffalo, and now he's with Cincinnati.
I think his peak was here, though.
Yeah.
David in Arkansas makes a really, really good point about Lorenzo Neal, that he went to the Chargers and he helped LaDainian Tomlinson succeed. And I've heard when LT got in the Hall of Fame, he had Lo Neal there. And he credited Lo Neal for helping him a lot in his career.
But was he better there than he was here? Because, you heard Mason talking about yesterday about, you know, on the kickoff return about –
Hey, get on my hip, don't dip.
Yeah, right? So, I mean, he was a great player here. He was a great player for San Diego.
Yeah.
He's a great player. I think he went to the Bengals, too, for a little bit.
He went to the Ravens. He played with Derek in Baltimore, too. He played for a lot of teams.
He did.
A lot of people are saying David Long, because he'll probably make the Pro Bowl this year.
Okay, I could see that. And plus David Long after Vrabel. You remember we read the paper in Miami when we were down there about Long was like, it's not personal, but it is personal. I was like,
you know what?
Chip
and Mount Juliet, and then somebody else who said Jared Cook. I guess you can count Jared Cook.
Well, he had
– he bounced around. Cookie.
Yeah. Jared Cook.
I was saying I
South Carolina.
Yeah.
What game did he have that great – catch on the sideline? Remember, was that with the Packers?
Yeah, I think that was the Packers. I mean, like, you playing with Aaron Rodgers, you should be elevated.
Yes, that's right.
So keep them coming. We'll get back to this, but our buddy Tim Hasselbeck, the new head coach at Innsworth High School, gonna join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on all things NFL and see what bowl game he's doing as well. He's gonna join us coming up next on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. That is right. Our man Tim Hasselbeck joining us here on the Chase and Big Joe show. It's homecoming, really, because Tim started with Big Joe and Willie many, many years ago. And, I was along for the ride for a lot of that as well. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Wait, along for the ride? What are you talking about, dude? Like, that makes no sense. Like, we were best friends, and you're like, hey, man, it's my best friend. Like,
well, that's true. We are best friends.
You know what I mean? Yeah, well, these guys. Like, one of them, like, you know, you're probably not going to like that much. His name's Joe, but, like, will you come on? And I was like, sure. Like, for you, because you're my best friend, I'll do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And well, that's how it all began. Best friends sing at other people's wedding, and I sang at your wedding, and Chase didn't. So that.
Fair. It just is a reunion of sorts. Like, there's a chance that it could go down as like the longest running, guest radio appearance in history with you guys, for sure.
It definitely will. First, congratulations are in order because you were named the head coach at Innsworth High School. I know you're excited about that, but we're excited for you because I think you're going to do a fantastic job.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm so fired up about it. I am excited. It's an opportunity that I'm certainly thankful for. It's an opportunity to be a part of a game that has like changed my life. And I know you guys are huge, you know, Friday night high school football fans. And so I love the fact that actually like you guys will be covering it and, you know, I'll be a part of it as a coach. And so, yeah, I'm really excited, you know, as you get older in life and you think about opportunities that, that may come your way. This is one that I'm really, really thankful for and fired up about.
You know, you've obviously played in the league for a long time. You've been doing ESPN for a long time. Why did this feel like the perfect time to get in? And I know you've coached a little bit with your kids, but to get into high school football, which, as you know, is pretty big time these days.
Yeah. You know what, for me, like even as a player and probably even, you know, before, you know, getting to college, I think I thought like, look, I'm going to play football and then coach football. I think that was just always how I thought about things. It was just kind of like, all right, if someone asked me like, hey, can you predict the next 10 years? Like, what do you think it would look like? And, you know, that was definitely the case for me as a pro player, you know, I felt like I was always preparing myself for what was next, and what was next in my mind always seemed like it was going to be coaching. And in fact, I remember getting cut by the Giants and Tom Coughlin, you know, was saying to me like, you know, hey, like, what do you want to do? And I was like, man, I'm so mad that you cut me. Like, I'm going to show you that I deserve to be on a team somewhere. You shouldn't have kept, you know, Jared Lorenzen instead of me. You know, like there was part of that, and then TV kind of happened. And so I think inside me, you know, there's always been this passion for it. And I've always known about the purpose of it, just having had amazing coaches throughout, you know, my lifetime, and thinking back to my high school coach and, you know, how much he poured into me. And so, you know, there's definitely, you know, those elements that I've always felt. And then I think that the big thing for me was that there had to have to be a place that it made sense. And I think you guys know this, like, you know, so we moved here to Nashville over 8 years ago. We've been a part of the Ensworth community since moving here. We love it. You know, our daughter is going to graduate from Ensworth this year and go to Vanderbilt to play lacrosse. And so, you know, I think that like those things lining up, I think just made me really feel like, listen, there are way too many things that God is putting in front of me right now to not pay attention to.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck this morning. Tim, did you consult anybody like – I know you and Trent Dilfer are close. Did you consult anybody who's made that transition?
I've definitely talked to a lot of guys that have coached high school football or are coaching high school football. And truthfully, like, this conversations I've had for a long time, Joe, you know, and not just guys coaching high school, but also coaching at other levels as well, just – about all of it. So look, I remember sitting with Jeff Saturday when we were both, you know, working on NFL primetime at ESPN, but he was also the head coach at Hebron Christian in Atlanta. And, you know, he's, you know, cramming in, watching as much of the huddle film that he can, you know, before doing other things. And so, yeah, look, I've talked to like Antonio Pierce is a teammate of mine, a couple of different spots. And, you know, so I've talked to him. I also have friends that, you know, are coaching at like the Division III level in college or coaching high school football. My brother Matthew was coaching high school football in Massachusetts this past year. So, yeah, Joe, to answer your question, like, yes. And it's a little bit like when you're about to get a dog. Like everyone loves dogs. and then it's like, you know, like, I don't know, like I may do this. Like, what do you think? And they're like, oh man, dogs are so much work. But it's like, dude, you have seven dogs. Like, you love dogs. Like, why are you telling me how much work it is? Right. I felt like that was some of the reaction, but I know this, all the guys that I kind of admire for how they do things. You know, some of the guys that I've mentioned, you know, they've done it the right way. They care about the kids, they care about the experience. And so with that, like, that always came out. Like Matt Bowen's a good example. He works at ESPN. He coaches high school football in Illinois, in Chicago. He was a teammate of mine in Washington. And, he sent me a text message, and he said, what's up, coach? And he's like, just so you know, like, that's the coolest way anybody can ever refer to you. He's like, it literally is an honor. And And I feel that way. So I'm excited about it.
What have you thought about your philosophy, your offense? Have you hired a coaching staff? I mean, there's a lot more than just like, hey, I'm the head coach at Innsworth.
You're exactly right. There is a lot more. And so, no, I have not, have not done that. You know, my philosophy, look, I think this, and I mean this, and I feel like I really learned it at times, and primarily just being around Andy Reid. You know, Andy is a West Coast offense guy. Like, that's how he learned the game, right? Like, he was Mike Holmgren, West Coast offense, and that's the terminology and all of that stuff. But I thought that, you know, in my time around him, the thing that was always so clear, like, it didn't matter if it was Donovan McNabb or Coy Detmer. It didn't matter if it was A.J. Feely or Michael Vick. It didn't matter if it's Alex Smith or Patrick Mahomes. Like, I think the important thing for coaches to do is to try to do things that best suit your players. Like, what are they best at doing? You know, like, just because I think it's a great idea to, you know, call a play that, you know, I don't know, I thought was an easy play to read or to run or block or anything like that, like, doesn't mean that's the case for the players. So, you know, I think the important thing to do is to try to set up the kids for the most success possible. And that might mean throwing it every play. It might mean running it every play. Well, we're going to have to find out.
Make sure that you, when you got a lead, that you kneel down and not run the ball like Miami, please.
Well, you mentioned about hiring a coaching staff. Joe, I have you on my contact list for end-of-game management kneel down. Like,
yes.
Are you able to handle that?
I can't. You called that game, right?
I did call that game, and I looked over at Wes Durham, who I was calling the game with, and I like kind of gave him this shrug, like what is going on here? Because I'm like, they don't need to be running the football. And so, you know, it's one of those moments when you're calling a game where you're like, I know, but like, do I really need to say it? Because, like, are they really going to fumble? And if they did fumble, are they really going to score, right? Like, it's just kind of one of those moments. And I'm like, well, I kind of feel like it's my job to say something here.
Oh, man.
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, if you want to hire Derek Mason as your wide receivers coach, I'm cool with that as long as you keep him available from 11 to 2.
You know, D. Mace, I just – the big concern for me is his eating habits, right? Like, I know, you know, as a player, he was in great physical condition, but anytime I'm talking to him or anyone's, you know, talk about what he's doing, like, he's eating Skittles. Like, he's, you know, like this, I think the sweet tooth and what that has maybe done to his physical conditioning, I'm concerned about.
In all seriousness, though, Tim, because, like, Derek and I've talked about this before, and he did a little coaching, but he got out of it because he realized that he's asking young men to do things that he did, and not everybody can do things that he did. And you see so many former players that don't make great coaches necessarily because they have such a high expectation. So is that something that you've thought about of how you realize that, hey, these are 17, 18-year-old kids that you're coaching and that they're not going to have the same preparation level or compete level that you may have had?
The good news for me, which is different than D. Mace, is that I stunk. I wasn't very good. I don't think I would be asking them to do anything I couldn't do. Now, I mean, I get it. I've seen it. And there are guys that were great players that maybe coaching wasn't really their thing. And then there are guys that there were great players and fantastic coaches. And maybe some guys that weren't great players and, you know, weren't great coaches either. So I think the big thing, you know, for me in terms of coaching people and especially teenagers, is that the number one thing I want them to know is like they're seen, like I see them, you know, and every person on the team has a valuable purpose and role and is important to the team. Like, and I mean that. And that is something that I think that all, you know, really good coaches that I've been around, I've seen that happen. I've seen coaches communicate that to their players. And I think that that's super important. And listen, and you're exactly right, Chase, when you said, like, look, high school football is different than it was 20 years ago. Like, they're, you know, I think they're, I think in many ways, you know, players are more talented. There's, you know, probably more that goes into it now than there was at that time, like both on and off the field. You know, at the same time, and so, like, with that being said, look, it's super competitive. Like, it, like the, you know, the league that really, I mean, honestly, just in Tennessee in general, nationally, all of it, it's super competitive. And so with that, look, there are no shortcuts in football. It's a lot of hard work. But I also know, like, it is the context of high school football. And so that's an important balance, not just for me, but I think that anybody that's coaching it at this level needs to be aware of.
We'll have more with Tim coming up next. We'll get into some NFL topics with him, but really appreciate him joining us and talking about his journey to being a high school football coach. More with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, head coach at Innsworth. As well, Tim, what do you think is going on in Denver right now with this whole Russell Wilson thing? He's been benched for the remainder of the season. He's owed a lot of money. But to me, this signifies the end of his time in Denver.
Can I address that music for a second?
Go ahead.
Can we? What? I was like, what just happened? Like, I usually have, like, intro music, and then coming out of break there, it was like, I felt like I was back at the dentist.
It's TV theme Thursday, man. That's the you. We consider you the greatest American hero, and that's your theme song. That's your second theme song.
That was so good. So, what is not good is my TV transition. Is what's going on in Denver? I mean, look, I think, Chase, what's going on there is, I think Sean Payton was trying to make it work. It clearly hasn't worked. It seems like there's friction with some of the reports. It seems like, you know, conversations about, you know, maybe Russell restructuring his contract, which the team obviously has zero leverage to make him do, have been going on for a little while now as he's, you know, trying to lead the football team, even though they're, you know, not out of the playoff hunt at the time that this stuff is going on. And so I think it's a disaster, and it probably is just headed for Russell Wilson probably being released at some point and creating a salary cap mess for the Broncos.
Yeah, it's definitely going to get messy before it gets better. You mentioned Antonio Pierce earlier. To me, I think if Mark Davis does what he did before when he moved on from Rich Bisaccia and got Josh McDaniels, then he needs to fire himself because I think he has his head coach.
Here's what I'd say. I was teammates with Antonio in Washington and New York, and I've been on record saying this for a long time. He is the smartest football player on that side of the ball that I have ever been around. Like, he was an incredible, incredible teammate. And so smart. There was a year in Washington where he played every single special teams and defensive snap. We had signed Michael Barrow to be the inside linebacker. Michael Barrow's knee acted up. I don't think he ever played a down. And Antonio Pierce played every single snap. Like, he was an amazing, amazing teammate. He's really smart. He's got a great way of kind of connecting with people. And so, look, I think that, look, it would be, there would have to be a really strong reason for me to go a different direction than Antonio Pierce if I were the Raiders.
Tim, what bowl game are you calling?
So I'm somewhat offended, Joe, that you don't have it already loaded in your iCal. But I'm calling the Gator Bowl tomorrow, Clemson versus Kentucky, which, look, two good programs, definitely, you know, some opt-outs and things that affect the bowl season, but I actually think it's going to be a pretty good one.
I want to ask you about that because the opt-out thing has never been more in our face as it is right now. What's the long-term effect of this, Tim? Because I understand it. Chase and I have talked about this ad nauseum. I understand both sides of it. But, man, it sure is deflating to some football teams.
It's super deflating to some football teams. I think that the pivot that they need to make, which, like, for example, just talking to Dabo yesterday, they've certainly done. Like Dabo said, look, because we've got, like, 15 mid-year enrollees, they're here practicing with us. Like, you know, we're going to honor our older players that are playing in the game, but we have next year's team right now. Like, that's what we have. And so there's going to be, you know, some new faces at linebackers, some new faces at defensive tackles, some new wide receivers, some new defensive backs. But, like, this is the start of next year as well. Like, it's the last game of this season. You know, it's going to count on this record. But it's the start of next season. So I think that, Joe, is the posture of the team so that it's not deflating to the team, the fan base, that type of stuff. It's exciting to say, all right, like, I want to learn about these new young players that I only got to see for 13 snaps this season. So that's that pivot. From like a culmination of the year perspective, I think the expanded college football playoff has to quench that part of the appetite. And so I think that, you know, everything else in terms of the bowl games, you know, definitely are a nod to, you know, a different experience in college football.
Well, you know, Tennessee's quarterback Joe Milton is sitting out, and I'd understand it if he was going to be a top five pick, but he might not even get drafted. So the decision to sit out, you know, it could be personal, whatever, to not get injured, but you have a chance to show off on national television what you can do against a pretty good Iowa defense. I just find it, I don't know, that kind of baffles me why he's sitting out.
Well, Joe, and here's what I would say, and this is the part of it that is people probably like you are saying, like, man, like Joe Milton, like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Not everybody's getting good advice. Like, that to me is one of the sad realities of this. And that goes on. Listen, I see it go on at the high school level. I see it go on at the college level. Like, and I've seen it at times. Look, remember back what Le'Veon Bell did? Like,
right.
Not everyone makes great decisions, you know, at the pro level. And I think that when you look at it, not everybody's getting good advice. What you just said about Joe Milton against a really good defense in a bowl game that is going to be looked at by all 32 NFL teams, like, that's an opportunity for a guy who is going to test really well throughout the process. People are going to fall in love with the physical attributes. A game against, you know, a good performance against a really good defense, would it help him more than a ho-hum performance would hurt him? So I would argue that I believe he's getting bad advice.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. If Will Levis is 80 to 85%, what would be the benefit of him playing the final two games for the Titans as they look to the future?
Rep experience. It's important. Like, you know, one of the things I feel strongly about, especially in recent years, looking at quarterbacks is like, look, it's outliers. It's the 10,000 hours. It's time on task. I get really nervous seeing what's happened. Like, I'll just give you a couple examples. Like, Trey Lance has played very little football since leaving high school. I mean, it's like, no one knows if he's going to be any good. No one. You know, Anthony Richardson does not have a lot of starts under his belt in college. He had a really short rookie season. It's a problem, like, in terms of your development. You look at some other guys. I'll give you an example. Brock Purdy played a ton of football. Like, it matters. It's why Bill Parcells would have, kind of the important factors to drafting a quarterback. I forget the number, but I think Parcells wanted, you know, like at least 40 starts at the college level. And so I think for Will Levis, look, the way that this year has gone in terms of he's banged up in the preseason, but he got an opportunity to play this year. Certainly been good moments and bad moments. I think just getting the reps in the work, playing at this level, I think is important. I think it will really benefit him, not just this year, but down the road.
Tim, one more before you go, back to college football. Who wins it all? Chase and I, we're betting on Alabama, and then Nick Saban can ride off into the sunset. What do you say about these final four?
Yeah, I don't know that he's – I don't know about riding into the sunset, but I think I agree with you guys. It's weird for me, like, because I feel really badly about what happened to Florida State. And I think they're a really good team. I've had them, a number of years, the last few years, you know, calling ACC games. But I think that, and I bring them up just to say, who's the best team right now? And, their quarterback situation, if you just look back to the beginning of the season, it's totally different in terms of how they trust their quarterback, their production, the quarterback, the threat of their quarterback. And so I think Alabama, with how they're coached, the talent they have, I would agree with you guys. I think they end up winning it all.
Tim, Happy New Year to you and the family. Again, congratulations. And I know we'll be talking to you down the road, and you're going to keep doing some stuff with us here on 102.5 The Game. But really excited for you.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on. It's a fun reunion, so I'm glad we did it to kick off the new year coming. So I appreciate both you guys.
No doubt about it. We'll talk soon.
See you, guys.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and Innsworth football coach, joining us here on the program. We'll react to some of the stuff he said, because I think, look, he's spot on. And, you know, Joe, I'm curious of, and we didn't get into this with him, but of how a lot of this stuff that we're seeing in college football, it's seeping to the high school level, and how he plans to deal with it too. We'll discuss a lot of that and more. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.